Thank you, Brother Allen. Take your Bibles tonight, if you would, and go to Galatians chapter number 6. Galatians chapter number 6. For the tape room tonight, the title of the message is The Marks of the Christian. The Marks of the Christian. Galatians chapter number 6. If you know anything about the book of Galatians, Paul is scared of them. He's worried that he's invested his life into a group of people who are going to turn to error from the truth. They started out with the truth, and somebody showed up in town and said that they had something better. I think, you know, the mark of the Christian is to take that truth and to look more and more throughout your Christian life like the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to be becoming more and more like him. I do believe, according to the gospel, I believe according to Paul's, just his epistles talking about, even he'll say this. So why don't you turn with me, hold your place there, and let's look at Philippians chapter number 3. The Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter number 3 is going to make a statement that is really going to lay a foundation for a lot of what we see tonight. We'll see what he says in Galatians, but he's going to instruct in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 17, "Brethren, be ye followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample." So he's going to actually tell them that there's going to be, and again, he's going to tell them to press towards the mark in this chapter. He's going to tell them so much, but he's also going to tell them there's some folks that you need to mark that aren't following the Lord Jesus Christ. They're not trying to teach his truth. And again, there are some coy fellows, aren't there, out there? There's some folks that some really deceiving words will speak about Christ, but not the Christ. And we mentioned that this morning, just trying to let you know that everybody that preaches Christ isn't preaching the Christ that is crucified, buried, and risen again. Some of them are preaching a Christ that is not the Son of God. They believe he was a prophet. They believe there's even Muslims believe Jesus was a prophet. But they don't believe that he's the Son of God. Here in the scripture, he says, "For many," look at verse 18, "for many walk of whom I've told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ." I want to present tonight, and listen, we ought to see the marks of a true Christian in folks that we decide to follow. And it's really hard. You know, we got this thing called the internet now, and so many people are being led astray on the internet because they're trying to watch, and they said there was some truth there. But if you run that thing to its end, well, how about this? I don't want to confuse you tonight. Turn to Romans chapter 16. Romans 16, laying a foundation before we really start preaching tonight. Romans chapter 16, Paul warns the Romans of the very same thing. Romans chapter 16 and verse number 17, as he's closing the book out, and he's trying to give some instruction, and he's given so much doctrinal instruction in the book of Romans. Now he gives a warning. He's given doctrine. He's taught them. He's given them instruction on how to be a Christian, how to live, how to balance the Old Testament law with the New Testament faith. And then he comes to verse 17. He says, "Now I beseech you, brethren," again, beseeching, he's begging them. See, sometimes we miss that as the book closes. We get Romans chapter 12, "I beseech you to present your bodies a living sacrifice." He's begging them to give their lives as a sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Here he says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them." One of the things, all right, I'm just going to tell you, you know, it used to be we put the VHS tape in, okay, and they say something on there, you push pause. The DVD player, now it streams on. You just let it, instead of stopping and going or turning it off or throwing your phone against the wall or your iPad because somebody just went against the doctrine of what's in the Bible, what's you've heard preached your whole life, instead you'll listen on to see if some new truth has come out. Let me mark her down for you. If you know the truth and you know this truth in the Word of God, there is no new truth. There's not going to be something that comes out that everybody else has missed. That God, listen, we follow, we continue in the apostles' doctrine. All right? God gave everything He wanted us to have to His apostles, and it is founded in the Word of God. So you don't need to look for a lost book. You don't need to look on the internet to see what new prophet has arisen and he's going to come out with some new word. You've got the very truth, the Word of God, in your hand. It should be studied and practiced in your life instead of seeking some new truth or some new person that will take you astray, because it's warned right here. He says he taught contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Now, if you're going to chase after these folks and you continue watching it, what are you? Because your preacher has preached on it. The Bible has warned you against it. And if you keep doing it, what does that make you? I'm not trying to be mean. I'm trying to tell you what the Bible calls you. If you fall into deception because you kept watching somebody that was contrary to the doctrine that was taught in your life, it calls you simple. Amen. Look at verse 19. For your obedience is come abroad unto all men. Do you know what our church stands on? See, we believe the truth. We stand for the truth and hold the truth high. And we even put a mark on the back wall to try to let everybody that walked in the back door know what we believe truth is. Okay? And our obedience to that gives us a testimony of following the truth. When people come and say they've heard of our church around the world, all of them have not watched the internet. They've not all turned on our services or been in one, but when they show up, what they've heard is about our obedience. For your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. I'm just going to tell you, I've said it before and I'll say it again, as you turn back with me to Galatians chapter number 6, one of the things that we need to desperately seek is continuing to grow in the truth. There are people that want to study. They get a foundation, and we're talking about being a witness. A lot of what will happen tonight, or being a Christian, means that other people see that Christ in me, or that I am acting and being in obedience to the doctrines and commands of Jesus Christ. So if I'm acting that way and I'm called a Christian, the church at Antioch was doing so and they had that testimony, and they were called Christians there first, according to the scripture. So tonight, as we try to take a moment and we think about this and the marks of a true Christian, we have to understand that every time that we think about this or we get marked, we've got to be careful, because what a Christian studies and follows is truth. All right? We've come to an age where there's so much access to evil things that sometimes we try to study the evil thing so that we can tell people how to avoid it, when the truth tells us to avoid it. Do you know that came up, that the word avoid was right there in verse 18? We got to be careful that we don't go studying wrong things. The truth will show the error. We study the truth and error will pop up. Doesn't mean that sometimes we can't know a little bit about the adversary, the devil. You know, this book teaches us about our adversaries. We don't have to study every new age movement and what they call themselves today. Do you know you could study the seven churches of Asia in the book of Revelation and come up with almost every error that is out there today? It was already there in the first century church. The only difference is now they've gone full-blown crazy. They've taken it, instead of holding the truth and having this one error, now they're in deeper error because they followed that one error. Galatians chapter 6, I want to pray, And we'll dive into the message tonight. I'll give you the 3 points that I want you to have tonight from the Word of God. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, I thank you for your goodness and your grace. God, I thank you for the opportunity to serve you and to even be called a Christian. God, I pray tonight if there's one here that does not know Christ as their Savior, that tonight they would accept you and they would become a child of God. I pray, God, if there are those here that have accepted you, but Lord, they have not yet put on the armor of being baptized and that suit of just the representing the Lord Jesus Christ in baptism and giving themselves that answer of a good conscience to themselves. I pray they'd get baptized. I pray, Lord, for those that are Christians, Lord, that have helped them to be faithful, to continue to mark others who have been faithful and to follow them, Lord. I pray that they will. In Jesus' name, amen. In Galatians chapter number 6, I want you to look at verse number 14 tonight. Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 14, he says, "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Savior, of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy upon the Israel of God. For henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus." Brethren, the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you, with your spirit here. Amen. I want you to see something here. He uses this terminology, and for Paul, this literally was marks in his body. For all of us, it may not turn out to be that way. We live in an American Christianity where sometimes we think suffering is when our power goes out and we have to suffer without air conditioning. All right? But Paul suffered some things. Paul knew what it was like to be stoned and then get up and walk on for the Lord Jesus Christ. He bore in his body the marks. Paul was whipped. I mean, multiple times. He talked about shipwrecked and all the things. And you don't think that falling into the sea that he didn't get a few bruises and marks from that? Things that he carried. You know, from football, we talk about all those things. You know, guys can't help but get together, and after a while, they start talking about the scars that they got. Got this one from working on an international. I got this over here. And, you know, somebody, we was out there shooting. You know, I got this one, and it ricocheted off the barrel and got me right here. You know, I mean, you can't help, you know. I got on the roof when I was a kid, and I thought that the sheet was going to work like a parachute, right? So I jumped off the garage, you know, and the last words that I said right before I jumped off was, "Watch this, y'all," right? And that's where I got that scar, right? I mean, that's kind of, sometimes we think of that as marks, but here, what Paul's talking about are marks that are in his body because of obedience to the commands of Jesus Christ, where he probably had marks on his wrist where shackles had cut him because he wore them for so long. He talks about how he knew what it was like to be hungry, and he knew what it was like to be full. He knew all these different things. Paul knew those things and gave a lot to the cause of Christ. And when he speaks about marks, but those aren't the only marks that a Christian can show. In this age, not all of us are going to spend multiple years in prison shackled. Now, there are places in the world where Christians do. And if you share your faith and you are an example of the believer to those around you, there are places in the world where you will be put in jail or put to death. But in this America and where you live, the marks of a true Christian are going to be different than the marks that Paul wore. Not always. But tonight I want you to see just a few things from the scripture. I want you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. And I want to show you the very first mark that people should see about you in a mindset that should be in you as a Christian is that mark of ownership. Do you know sometimes one of the greatest hurdles that most Christians face in their lives is who has ownership of the Christian? When we sing the song, "Jesus paid it all to him I owe," there was a purchase that happened that day. He paid for me on Calvary, and when I took him up on the offer, it was signed, sealed, and it was applied to my bank account in heaven, and my sins were washed away, and Jesus took ownership of this vessel. Now, if you got saved, Jesus took ownership of you. Now, in chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians, these are familiar passages of Scripture. He says in verse 19, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's." Notice, he doesn't deal with everything under the sun that we ought to abstain from here. He just says, you're not your own. So if you want to do something with your body, who do you ask first? The owner. If you're thinking about going someplace, if you understand ownership, then the owner's the one that gets to say, what am I going to spend my Sunday doing? Where am I going to go? Where am I going to take the body that you purchased and the spirit that lives within me? What am I going to encourage it with, or what am I going to grieve it with? I ought to be asking God about those things. The marks of a true Christian are marked by this. Now, in context, look earlier in the chapter just so you can pick up some of the contrast of things that are here. See, we think, oh, that's just God just wants to lord over me. God wants to... No, God still gives you an opportunity. Even though he bought you, even though he purchased you by his own blood, and I can't get over the bought with a price that I have in Jesus Christ, but then he turned me loose to serve him. He gives me an opportunity to follow his word. He gives me an opportunity to follow the ownership manual. He still gives me an opportunity to serve him with everything, half of everything, a quarter of everything, or to give him my 10%. Because I owe it to him. You do realize, we're not just talking about tithes. I believe when you're talking about what God has given you, you owe God 10% of everything you are. Not just what your increase. You don't think it increases you? And again, I understand the Old Testament thing, but I want to give God 10% of my money. But I want to give God at least 10% of my time. I want to give God, and listen, I don't know about you, but 10%. Is a pretty good lick when you start thinking about 168 hours in a week. Look, I want you to see here in verse 12, he says, "All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any." Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, knew that they had been overtaken in sexual faults. America, church members, are overtaken with sexual faults. Pitfalls. Talk about the internet. I will preach and try to get you to stay away from the places that you ought not be trying to learn doctrine from on the internet. But the sad fact is, if you run the polls and what everybody says that most men in good, independent, fundamental Baptist churches are looking at, it ain't preaching. And the Bible here deals with this, and it's going to deal with fornication in context. And make no mistake about it, just because you're watching it on the screen, you need to lock her down and understand you have put that under, that is fornication. Amen. And by the way, just let me tell you, everything is lawful unto me. You know, all of that is under the blood too. Don't think the preacher's preaching against you because he doesn't want you to get right and get victory over it. The preacher's preaching to you tonight because I'm telling you that the Bible says that there are things like that. Do you know that thing will bring you under its own power? You won't be able to discern right. It will own you. I don't know if you've been into convenience stores lately, but I'm getting a whole new scheduled learning because the court made all these cigarette companies put all these things up, these big like signs. And they're not, you know how they used to do where you couldn't hardly see it? Now they got, I mean, it's a great big board up there at the top of all that tobacco mess behind the counter. There's this sign up there that says, you know, it'll tell you, R.J. Reynolds, you know, there. I'm not advocating for him. Everybody's watching on there, okay? But, I mean, it'll tell you whoever it is that owned that cigarette said they knowingly and purposefully knew that these would harm you, and they made them anyway. They knowingly knew that this would do this, this, and this, and they made them addictive so that you would get hooked and you could not have power to get away from them. I mean, these are signs they're making. The world says that this was deceptive and evil. You know, I mean, a preacher worth his salt, any preacher worth his salt, has been preaching against that stuff for as long as I've been alive. And we think that's just legalistic. Well, now the world's putting billboards out there and preaching to you too. Hey, we wrote it on the cigarette pack and put it down low for you to read. You had to get a magnifying glass out, but it was there. And so finally, they're trying to tell everybody in the world, hey, here's a billboard for you. Because people have sued and sued and sued. And you know what the courts are saying? We're tired of going over this. Yes, it's their fault. Yes, they purposefully did this. And you young people, don't think that I'm going to get off of you. This vaping business don't make a lick of sense to me either. It's just going around the corner and doing something else, and they're finding out that that may be worse than smoking cigarettes. Just because you put water in it, all the things that you're sucking in, they proved that those things are just as addictive, and now they weren't even regulated, so they have no idea what they use to put flavors in it for you. You say, what would you advise for me, preacher? Let this temple be the Lord's. Keep yourself away from it. Not one person ever went to the store and said, Jesus, do you think I should vape? And him say, yes. I said, preacher, you're getting legalistic tonight. Listen, I'm just starting. I'm just here to tell you, there are some things that we ought to stay away from and some things we ought to do right. The Bible tells us to stay pure, to stay holy, to do right. Obedience. You know, those things are the mark of a Christian. When a Christian just right after the bat says, I am owned by the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm bought with a price. Now listen, I'm looking at a crowd of people. Do you know you did things that you're sorry for before you got bought? Well, what do? You go to God. Say, God, how do I get these things out of my life? Not, well, God knew I had them when he saved me. I guess he'll just keep me this old way. No, he wants you to give it up. Listen, you know, you say, preacher, you're just getting hard tonight. Look at verse 15. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. What, know ye not that he is joined to a harlot as one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. Now, I'm not going to get evil or outside the bounds because I know we have our children in here tonight, but I'm just going to tell you, in the body of Jesus Christ, he wants his church to be separated, to be holy, and presented to him as a beautiful bride, adorned for her husband. As each one of us as Christians, we ought to be trying to clean ourselves up and prepare ourselves for the return of Jesus Christ and doing what his, because again, I want to live pure, and I'll make that decision for me. I will live out my convictions and the principles and the doctrines of the Word of God. But I am attached to this body of believers, and this body will be marked. Listen, you will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. Every one of us will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and be judged, not for our sin because it's under the blood, but how we were living in obedience to his commands. And don't make any mistake about it. The only separation in the book of Revelation that Jesus, when he gives his message to his church, he makes in believers is the pastor and the people.
That's the only separation he makes there to those seven churches. He doesn't say, now these members over here. Now in the book of Corinthians, Paul's trying to correct these things. He's talking to those that are in this error and these that are having a problem with the Lord's Supper. He's dealing with all these different parts of the body. But in Revelation, Jesus corrects the whole body. And he says, now I want you to understand this. We think we miss this, all right? God gives us preachers, and he gives us the word of God and truth for us to be able to live and to work and to get underneath of it. Do you know what he says he'll take away from the church if they don't listen? Their pastor. You say, what are you trying to say, preacher? I'm just trying to tell you truth. God gives us a man of God and a leader. And man, what a man of God we have had here for 50 years in this place to preach truth and to give us correction and to tell us what we're bought with a price and what we ought to do. And I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful for every bit of all that. But listen, I've been looking around and I watch churches who lose their pastor. And I start to study and I start looking at the word of God and say, well, why did that happen? And I start putting, again, you know, when the people won't be obedient to the commands of God, or, listen, I'm just going to tell you, when a man takes a church away from the word of God, it's not a church anymore. It's not a church of Jesus Christ. It's just an assembly that's meeting just like the Moose Lodge down the street. When their sole purpose is not the gospel of Jesus Christ getting out and following his word, what's it meeting together for? Amen. Amen and amen. Ownership. Ownership of the Lord Jesus Christ. The first mark of a true Christian is him understanding or she understanding ownership. Second of all, I want you to see this. The mark of obedience is number two. Philippians chapter number two. I must hasten. I want you to see this. The Philippians chapter number two tonight. The second mark of the Christian is obedience. We see ownership first in a Christian's life who's following and living like the Lord Jesus Christ. But then we see obedience followed out. When he learns, when there's something preached that he didn't know before and he's taught new truth, what does he do? He applies it to his life. He begins to put it and install it into his life. You know, a lot of times we would think, you know, Pastor Carter got that car, you know, for his 50th anniversary. And it was pretty good. But you know what he did? He spent almost a year and a half, almost 2 years now, working on making it better. Working on making it faster. Installing things. When he looked at it and found, I think it could. We could get the gear a little higher so we could go a little faster. We think we're laughing because we know he wants to go fast. But listen, as a Christian, I ought to want to please the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I learn about something else that I could do more for Jesus, that he could have more of me if I would let go of some things in obedience to his command, then I ought to let go of those things. When I realize that this, you know, and most of the time, I'm just going to be honest tonight and my time is hastening, but I just want you to understand, don't think, if you feel stagnant in your Christian life, then go back and remember the last time God asked you to give him something. Something that you had that was between him and you said no. All right? Because until you're obedient in that area, you're not going to hear from God again. You're not going to go farther from him. When he gives you, this is the next step, okay? It's kind of like Hansel and Gretel and the breadcrumbs. There ain't going to be another breadcrumb until you pick that one up and you take care of it. God is trying to lead us and shape us and mold us, but he's not going to let us cut corners or jump over places. And a lot of times when we think God is so far from us, he's still right there. We just can't see him because we said, I refuse to do that. You say, preacher, you're getting awful hard tonight. I'm not being hard. I'm just being truthful. He says in verse 5, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion of man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. I don't know how much farther you could go in obedience than being obedient unto death. even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, wouldn't that be something? This church is a special church. He says, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed. Now, I want you to pick this up. This is under the inspiration of God. Paul is writing to them, writing a letter, but under the inspiration of God. And I want you to take it. It's for our benefit, but true about their testimony. Not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You know, one of the greatest things in our day and age that is a real trouble with Christianity is that people live one way on Sunday. They dress one way on Sunday. They talk one way on Sunday, and they're a completely different person on Monday through Friday. Now, you may think I'm trying to get after you and be mean to you, but what I'm trying to do is help you, because you're not helping your testimony. And when you invite your friend to church, the reason they're going to say no is because underneath their breath and in their mind, they think you are a hypocrite. Now, I understand, and I grew up in a church, and I understand not all of us are perfect. And even if I say I'm a Christian, it doesn't mean I'm a perfect one. That I said this morning that every one of us have a besetting sin, and God is still working on me, just like he's working on you. But you know, most of your friends can see that. And when they see you following step by step of obedience to the Lord's commands, and you every time the Lord, when you say, the Lord told me to do this week, I heard the preacher say that, I didn't know that I could add that to my life, and you do it. You know what they say? Man, something's different about him. Because you still got your song, like we talked about this morning. You still got laughter and happiness because your close walk with the Lord Jesus is in close fellowship. Because when he commands, you are stepping out in obedience. Not trying to play church. You say, preacher, I've been doing this a long time. I agree. Well, how happy are you with it? Was there a day in your life when your obedience kept you in closer fellowship with the Lord? Or now you feel like your deeds, again, I just want to tell you, as a preacher, before I was the pastor here, and before I was full-time in the ministry, I wanted to live the same way I did on Sunday, all week long. You say you wore a necktie everywhere? No, absolutely no. See, we take everything and immediately take it to dress. I believe when you come to the house of God, you ought to level up a little bit, right? It ought to be a little, if you wear blue jeans and a t-shirt, maybe a collared shirt is a level up from what you wear all week, right? And so dressing up and giving God your best is what we always have preached. But I do believe this, if I was a lady, I'm not going to show off things that I don't show off on Sunday. If I was a man, I wouldn't put on the best t-shirt I had and then put a beard t-shirt on and go out as a Christian. I wouldn't advertise for things that God wouldn't be advertising for. And sometimes we make it so complicated, and we think the preacher wants us to wear a suit and be just like him every day. I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about getting rid of some of the things you know you ought to throw out. Things that aren't worthy of being put on a Christian's body because they witnessed the wrong thing. Man, some people are more willing to boycott a place like Target, Walmart, or Disney than they are to get rid of a t-shirt that advertises the wrong thing. And I think you ought to boycott them places when they're wrong. I believe that, well, they're always wrong. But anyway, I think we ought to boycott the things that are wrong, but I don't think we ought to make ourselves a billboard for the wrong thing. You say, well, that's going to change my whole wardrobe. You know, when you step out in obedience, I guarantee you God will give you one. If you have a desire of obedience in your heart, God will take care of the rest. I want you to see this, the mark of opportunity. I want you to go back with me to Galatians chapter number 6. At the end of the chapter, Paul was talking about how he had he had these marks in his body, and they were physical marks, but we're talking about the marks, the spiritual marks of the Christian. And I don't know if you've seen this, but as you're turning, I want you to look in the earlier part of the chapter, but I want you to be remembered this. He says this, that he not only wants us to do that and to live that way, but he says that he wants to do us in spirit as well. He talks about how the marks of the Lord Jesus in our body, he says, for henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. He says, brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus be with your spirit. Do you know the spirit of the church is important? And we can't have the right spirit when we don't have the marks of ownership. Because we get lifted up in pride because we think we're our own. And we can do whatever we want to do instead of I'm bought with a price. I'm obedient to his command. Marks of obedience in my life. And then finally, the mark of opportunity. I want you to see here in verse number 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. I want you to understand this whole chapter in context. All right, the whole thing is about the spirit of the church. This chapter, as he comes to the end, he's talking to a church that has gotten from the truth and started to get out into error. And he is talking to them because if you read here, Paul has to prove again. Paul is the one that came and helped them build this church. And now he's having to write back to them his qualifications. Because they had some other dry dust doctor come in, and they decided to go with his doctrine instead of the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that doctor didn't claim to be no apostle. Paul, in the book of Galatians, goes into deep detail to tell them not only who he got his gospel from, but the pinpoint location on planet Earth that he got it from Jesus Christ. He lets them know what mountain he got it on. Do you know he went to the backside of the desert and got on Mount Sinai? And God gave him, he sat down with the Lord Jesus Christ and he got Bible college just like the other apostles got Bible college. And he doesn't go into all that detail and puff himself up in any other book, but when he's challenged on the fact of his apostleship, he goes in great detail and tells them exactly where he got his doctrine. That he didn't get it from men, but he got it directly from the Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight, I just want you to understand, he came back and what he dealt with after he corrected the error was their spirit. Do you know, we're talking tonight, we're going to go over here to a ministry fair. And the whole idea of the ministry fair is about our spirit. We want to do that to be encouraged. Not to try to arm wrestle somebody into doing something for God. I want you to have an opportunity to serve God. I want you to be excited to serve God. I want you to have opportunity to be obedient to what God has already told you to do. Wouldn't it be great if we, as God's people, listen, one of the greatest testimonies I get of this church is when people walk in the back door, they talk about our spirit. And I don't ever want that to change. But you know what changes the spirit? When we don't live in obedience. When we don't remember who owns us. When we let opportunities go by to be witnessing to people or to be cordial when people walk in the back door. I've realized this. We live in Haines City. And I said it this morning and I'll say it again. You can't drive up and down the roads without realizing the opportunity that God has brought to our town to witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have today, folks who have been in our church for decades have come up to me, and things I've been praying about and working towards and having meetings about in my office walked up to me and said, I have an open door in this area. What can we do with it, preacher? And I'm praying for God to open doors that we could minister in that area. And I said, we'll be getting with you about that. Because we've been praying about that. Folks, I want you to understand the possibilities and opportunities are endless for the church that really desires to be obedient, to show the ownership of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to witness to a lost and dying world. It is God's will that all men be saved. It is the purpose of His church to witness to all men and let them make their decision on what they're going to do with Jesus. Tonight, the marks of a Christian are these. Let me ask you this, as a church, do you bear these marks? As a Christian tonight, how many of these three marks do you bear in your spirit? Do you bear ownership? Everybody that knows you knows that God owns you. Does everybody that know you know that if God said it, you're obedient to it? Does everybody that knows you know that at every opportunity that you get, you will serve God? You will serve God at the drop of a hat, and you'll drop the hat to be able to serve. These are the marks of a Christian tonight. Do you bear them in your body? With heads bowed and eyes closed tonight, if you're here tonight and you don't know Christ, then what you desperately need is to be saved, to accept Jesus as your Savior. If you're here tonight and you're a Christian and you are born again, then maybe you want to talk to God about one of these different areas, or just thank Him for saving you and being in a good church, and that you have an opportunity to serve God. Whatever it is that God has asked you to do tonight, why don't you be faithful to Him and do it? Dear God, I pray for our church, Lord. I pray You'd help us tonight as we have things that happen after church, Lord. But tonight, Lord, if there's one that needs to be saved, Lord, help them to walk in the invitation tonight and be saved. I pray You'll be with our church. Help us now. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand to our feet. As your musicians begin, you come.
All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily.
Are bowed and our eyes are closed tonight. If you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, you don't know for sure that heaven would be a home when you pass away, why don't you step out and let us take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure that heaven will be your home because of what Jesus did for you on Calvary. His death, His burial, and resurrection has taken care and paid the way. Why don't you come and receive Him tonight as Brother Bert sings?
All to Jesus I surrender, make me Savior, wholly Thine. May Thy Holy Spirit fill me, may I know Thy power divine. I surrender all, I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
Let's sing it with Him now.
All to Jesus I surrender, Lord, I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power. Let Thy blessing fall on me.
I hope you did whatever God asked you to do tonight, and we hope you will stay afterwards for our ministry fair. But if you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, I'd love to take a few minutes and just take the Bible and show you how you can know that for sure for a Bible reason. If you'll just come up to me right after the service here, we'll be here for a little while, and we'll make sure that if that's something that you want to accept Christ, we can take care of that tonight.